Hello, Amanda Smith joining you for Books and Arts Daily here on RN Summer with the final in this week of Artists in Conversation from the 2014 Melbourne Festival. Later in the hour, it's the music and life and times of Roland S. Howard. Roland played with and wrote songs for bands including Boys Next Door and The Birthday Party. He died 5 years ago, and the conversation you'll hear was recorded on what would have been his birthday, his birthday party. First, though, to Team of Life. This is the name of a big community project and performance created by CAGE, Dance Theatre Company. The show is set on AFL Grand Final Day. It has a cast of professional and non-professional, mostly Indigenous and African Australians. Among the professionals, the singer Kutcher Edwards and actor Heath Burgesson. Among the non-professionals, David Newell Vincent. David came to Australia as a refugee in 2004. He's one of the lost boys of South Sudan. Fled his country as an 8-year-old, was trained to be a boy soldier, then spent 17 years in refugee camps. He writes about all this in a memoir that's called The Boy Who Wouldn't Die. It was published in 2012. For this Artists in Conversation at the Melbourne Festival, I'm joined by David Newell Vincent, along with actor Heath Burgesson, and the director and choreographer of Team of Life, Kate Denborough. All sorts of marvellous people in the crowd today. I will acknowledge Kutcher Edwards, who's also one of the performers in Team of Life. You might get some questions too, Kutcher. Kate, you're the artistic director of CAGE, Dance Theatre Company, based in Melbourne. Can you just kick us off by telling us what your starting point for this show was?
There are a couple of starting points, actually. 4 years ago, my brother, David Denborough, went to Uganda and was working with some social workers there to meet with former child soldiers. And they were gathering outside, and he saw this group of young boys who were playing soccer and having a fantastic time together, full of joy and camaraderie. And then they were asked to come over and speak to these international visitors. And it was very apparent that although a minute ago they'd been having enormous fun and friendship, that when they were asked to talk about their lives, it was, you know, incredibly difficult, and the process was terrible. So he decided that there must be a way to try and utilise this metaphor of sport to try and work with these young people. So he developed this, it's called the Team of Life methodology, which is now used all over the world, which uses sport as a way of encouraging people to tell their stories in different ways. It's been used here in Melbourne at the Royal Children's Hospital with transplant patients in Indigenous communities around Australia and prisons in America. So it's a really useful program that can fit into lots of different contexts. So that was the first starting point. And then the second starting point was I read David Vincent's book, The Boy Who Wouldn't Die, and was, you know, incredibly moved, but also it just felt such a compelling story that I thought it'd be fantastic if we could try and use the material in a theatrical way to try and talk about the topic in a different way. And then I tracked you down. I met this just wonderful young man and had a coffee and was saying, look, I really don't know what we're going to do or how we're going to do it, but I would love to try and collaborate on this process in some way. What do you think? And very luckily, he said, yes, I'm keen. But then I said, well, actually, I'm also not just asking you whether you would, you know, be willing to collaborate with us in, you know, telling a story, but would you actually be able to perform in this work as well? And there was a little bit of a longer pause then.
We'll get on to that, but just for a bit more background, David, you, as your book, The Boy Who Wouldn't Die, details, you were a child soldier in South Sudan. You also spent a number of years in a refugee camp in Kenya before coming to Australia. Within all that crazy life, was there a role for sport in that for you?
Yes. I would tell you that sport was one thing that was available, but it wasn't a structured sort of a sport. When we were in the camp, we have to make things up. So when I say I play soccer ball, it's not the proper bouncy soccer ball. So it's a ball made out of socks. So that's my soccer ball. And so I would play right from in the morning as I woke up until in the evening, because we only have 1 meal a day then. We don't have a school. We didn't have any sort of structured activities in the camp. And so if there was one thing that took a lot of my time, and perhaps one thing that kept me going, was just basically sport, and in this case was soccer. Well, now I call it soccer, but I used to know it football back then.
It's called soccer because you play with a sock.
Yes, yes, but when I came here, I learned there's another football, and that got confusing, so I probably retreat and say soccer ball, which also matches my first sock ball.
And indeed, that's about the first scene in this show, is you reading a newspaper and then scrunching up the newspaper and putting it into your sock to make a ball. When you came to Australia in 2004 to Melbourne, did you find football, a form of football here, or did football find you in this new home?
I was lucky. I came around the time was almost about, it was almost grand final football, or AFL. And so this friend says, look, it's a big thing here. And straight away for me, because it was a sport, I was able to relate to that. If there was one thing that I was able to sort of link in so easily, is the sport. So at the end, well, I discovered that it wasn't actually soccer grand final. It was football, AFL.
Did you think it was soccer?
Yes, I thought it was. I thought it was a soccer, so I got excited to actually see. Maybe probably would be the very first time to see a live any game live, and so I was very happy to go. And then when I discovered actually it's an egg like shaped ball, then I was like, well, it's not the football that I knew, but the spirit of it. Straight away, I was able to relate to that, the spirit of how it brings people together. And then it journeyed me through the fact that I wanted to learn about Australian either values or cultures, but then that sense of sport brought in that huge crowd that I was able to be part of it quite easily.
Mm-hmm. Heath, in this country, Indigenous players are prominent in the football codes, particularly in AFL. Now, for your character in this show, in Team of Life, that means a lot to him. What about for you, for Heath, as a child growing up? What did football mean to you? What did the prominence of Indigenous players in that code? Did it mean anything to you?
Yes, I was adopted out about 6 to 8 weeks old from Derby. I was brought up in Coolgardie in Kalgoorlie. I didn't really know how to play football. Like, I got asked to play for about 5 teams, like in Kalgoorlie, and I was told to, like, yeah, just get a pair of footy boots, and we train out at Boulder on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, and come and play for us. But I never got a pair of footy boots, and so it never eventuated. But I would have loved to, and I think not bad money in it.
Better money than being an actor, probably.
But it was really cool. I remember I'm a guy for West Coast Eagles in the AFL.
So, Kate, just talking more about the background to the creation of this piece. So your company is Cage, and the whole project and production has been a collaboration with the Dulwich Centre Foundation in Adelaide. So what's the nature of that collaboration? Who are they?
Well, it's a family affair, because my brother David, who's the writer on the show, works at the Dulwich Centre Foundation, which is a narrative therapy practice. So he and I have made, this is the third work we've made together, and his kind of passion is working with communities and particularly with young people who have experienced trauma. So our worlds are quite different in a way, but we seem to have found a kind of lovely synergy working together. It's a complicated process, actually, because this process has taken about 2 or 3 years to make, because we work with alongside communities for a long time, and David often leads workshops with targeted communities and schools, and then alongside that starts the creative process. So in terms of collaboration, it's not only been the Dulwich Centre Foundation and their continuing practice with the Team of Life in the community, but it's also been, for example, David and Heath and Kutcher and the members of the cast over the last few years bringing their stories and histories all together, and then the creative team coming on board. It's a multi-layered situation.
And one of the layers, or the sort of one of the parallels going on in the production, is stories of Indigenous Australians. So there's Heath, you play a young bloke who, with his wife, is about to have their first child.
Yes. Yeah.
And David, you're a refugee from South Sudan who's here with your sister, and there's these two parallel stories going on. And in fact, as I understand it, David, one of your first encounters when you came to Australia was with an Indigenous Australian.
Yeah, now I tell myself that I was very lucky, probably one of the first lucky refugees. And my first day walking on Brunswick Street, and this black fella...
This is in Brunswick Street in
Brunswick Street in Fitzroy. And this black fella walked towards me and said, "Yeah, brother, welcome, this is your country." I didn't know, or I've never heard or know anything about Aboriginals before. But then I was with my cousin, and I say, "Hey, can you clarify this for me?" And he say, "Yeah, these are the people who owns this land." I was like, "Wow." So the next thing was trying to learn about the Indigenous, or the first Australian. And it's just quite amazing for me to be able, because I never thought I would be able to actually be on the stage with them. You have Heath here, and you have Uncle Kucha down there, and you have Layla. It's just incredible for me. There's nothing, there's a sort of a joy of expressing that, because I was homeless, and they extended their hands and welcomed me to feel as part of this country. And this is my home, and I'm just so very happy that these fellas sort of really welcomed me to their country.
Heath, in this show, as I said, there is these parallel stories going on. And with the character you're playing, along with the character who's your wife, who's about to have a child, you use this team of life idea to imagine the team for your new child. Can you take us through that scene in a way, that team?
Yes, in the play, Susie, Layla's character name, she goes, "Oh, tell the baby a story about our people." So then I do it like a team sheet. You've got all the positions on the footy field. And so I go ahead to say, can I say?
Yeah, oh,
I'd love it. No one's seen the show.
No, can't tell you. You have to come and see the show, okay? No. So I say to our daughter in the womb, "When you arrive, you're going to be surrounded by a very powerful team. And in the team of life, you can use like family members. It doesn't have to necessarily be human. It could be like a pet, or it could be up above." So, yeah, so I say in the midfield will be Traganini, Eddie and Benita Mabo, and, yeah, Nicky Winmar, just all different sports people, political, like Pemulwuy, who fought against the white man, like defending homeland, Yagan as well.
Slim Dusty gets a good
Slim Dusty, because can't forget Slim Dusty, is it? As I say in the play, because he did so much for Aboriginal people as well. Like, I think Aboriginal people taught him how to play guitar. People like that, just inspirational people, warriors. Just to tell a quick story about Slim Dusty, why he's in there. My father's side from Northern Territory, he was telling me a story for Slim Dusty, because so many Aboriginal people loved him. Like, when he passed on, so many people were really upset. Everyone just loved him. But there was a 13-year-old girl who wrote a letter to Slim Dusty asking if he could come out and put on a concert for her birthday, for her 13th birthday, way in the middle of nowhere, out in the bush. And she didn't get a response, but come her birthday, all these trucks started rocking up, and everyone's like, "What's going on here?" All these trucks and unloading stuff, and then the man himself walked out, Slim Dusty, come to put on a concert for her 13th birthday. It was in a remote community somewhere in Northern Territory. So, yeah, just inspirational people like that. Sort of put them in the team sheet. Who else was there? Oh, Charlie Perkins, Kathy Freeman. They're all in this team sheet that I'm telling our daughter.
Mm.
Yeah.
Kate, is that how it works, you know, when it's used, the team of life approach is used in counselling and community work?
Yeah, well, there are quite a few different stages. So, for example, if we were going to do a team of life, you know, workshop here, collectively we would make our own team, or separately we would make our own team. So, for example, if David and I were looking at a team sheet, we might go, okay, well, let's use soccer as the round ball. Mm. And you might say, who's the coach, who's your goalkeeper, who's defending your goals? They might be alive, they might have passed away. Then you might go, well, what's in your first aid box? You know, what do you need? And it might be a song, or it might be chocolate, or it might be anything at all. But you just develop ways of talking and growing your story. And then once you've made your team sheet, you make a goal map. So you think about a goal that your team has already achieved. So a lot of the young people that we've worked with, their goal was coming to Australia, so they might draw their grandma kick the ball to their brother who kicked the goal, and that's how, you know, to come to Australia. And then there's actually lots of processes. You can write your team song, you know, what kind of music do you like listening to, that then, you know, you collectively might write together, and then you sing it, and there's a goal celebration. You might go, okay, we're going to reenact that goal. You're going to be my grandma. I'm going to kick it to you. You're going to kick it. And then we all celebrate together. So it's just about kind of collective sharing and building stories as a way of finding joy and acknowledgement of your past.
Does it work as well for young women as for young men?
It does. So we've done ones with basketball and netball, and we did a dance one actually where it was a stage basically. So then you had your production manager, your stage manager, who's in the audience. You can relate it. At the moment, well, probably through David and through learning about the Lost Boys from South Sudan, it has had a slightly more male focus in this particular incantation, but we're working with a school in Dandenong, St John's Regional College, to develop a girls' team there for the Team of Life.
Mm. And David, since coming to Australia, you've done all sorts of work in human rights and with refugees. You've been the Victorian Human Rights Youth Ambassador. You've been a People of Australia Ambassador. And recently you've started a campaign that's called I Am a Peace Soldier. Can you tell us about that?
I travel in between my two countries, and that is Australia and South Sudan. And the last conflict, the most recent conflict that started, caught me up in South Sudan. And at the time, I was in the capital, so the conflict itself started in the capital. And I was really thrown back on how, as a community, we quickly relapse and go back to conflict as a result.
So fragile and volatile.
A very fragile situation. And it's really devastated me, you know. What really sort of threw me back was my former colleagues who were childhood friends and who were also child soldiers themselves. It was easy to pick up a gun and go on and join the conflict because I was nearly killed too, because the building where I was raided, and it was very intense situation. Luckily enough, I survived because three guys who came to raid that building knew who I was. So there was like on the gunpoint, they say, hey, David, what are you doing here? I'm like, yeah, that's me, mate. So I was very lucky. And the next thing was that friends coming and say, look, David, you got to join, you got to come back, you know. We can't keep you safe. The only way you could be safe is for you to have a gun. And to me, I thought, this is the last thing now I wanted to do. And I found myself just helpless when the whole country was in that chaotic scene. And eventually, I flew back, came to Australia. And that was the birth of I'm a Peace Soldier, is the fact that everybody, I mean, peacekeeping has to become everyone's business. So it's not just about the blue helmets, our traditional blue helmet, the UN peacekeeping forces. So that we're very lucky to have Tim Costello launch it in July. The idea is sort of a grassroots campaign working with people from conflict background to try to, for them to sort of move away from that and have sort of a bit of a mind shift towards doing things that can promote peace in their own community. So that's a campaign that I wanted to push more and work with the people in the community and say that we all have responsibility in keeping peace.
Kate, it's an extraordinary cast that you've gathered with David, with Heath, with Kutcher, but there are other people in the cast too. Who are the other performers in this show?
So there are three other performers from South Sudan: Newell Boll, who's a cousin of David's, Pierre Akech, and Kiki Kwol. They've never been on the stage before, but they're fantastic sports players. But when I first met them, they were quite shy, weren't they? They're quite shy and very nervous. And one of the most amazing things for me over this 2-year period is watching their just unbelievable development. And then Timothy Ole and Gabrielle Nankavell are cage dancers that we've worked with a lot. And Leila Gurui, who's the presenter on the Mangook Footy Show, who also hasn't been on stage in a theatre show before. But it's the same, you know, with David as well. It's amazing how brilliant they are on stage. You know, it is a completely transformative experience to watch this group of people, and led by Kutcher, who's obviously so seasoned. But the magic that they bring together collectively as a team is very powerful.
So, David, how did you go with finding your, you know, your inner performer? As Kate says, you know, Heath and Kutcher are professional, experienced performers. Tell me about becoming a performer.
So, here we were, I think, it was a thing on Brunswick Street with Kate, who's sitting there having coffee, and she's like, yeah,
Brunswick Street figures in your life.
Yeah, I know, Brunswick Street is like a big time. And she's like, yeah, we love to, you know, I read your story, it's a very powerful story, and look, we'd like to use it in this sort of a play that we're thinking to have. And I was like, yeah, please, go for it, no problem. And then she kind of looked at me and said, and I would like you to be in the show. I was like, well, yeah, so I started straight away thinking, how could I possibly be in a show? And part of the show basically is sort of weaving through my own personal story there. And so at that instant, I was thinking a lot of things. How will I take it that my sort of life, real life story is in the show? And the fact that I'm going to be part of it, and I have never done anything like that before. Mm-hmm. So I kind of hesitated a bit, but I thought, out of curiosity, why not? You know, let's try it. Then I do make a lot of mistakes, forget my lines, and then like, come on, you gotta learn. And like, oh yeah, no. But one thing that I know best is criming. As a child soldier, it's about me walking in the room and start visualizing and picturing everything and know where everything is placed. And so for me to play around the words, it came easily. But then how do you act it out to become natural? It was kind of a bit hard. But I was able to get guidance and supported through, you know, we have professional like Heath, Kucha there just to say, you got to relax and do this. So it was just a very incredible journey for me. So if you ask me now, what is next? Hollywood.
Well, actually, two things there. David was actually offered a role in the movie The Good Lie, and he turned it down. So
to be in this show?
So yeah, and your other very important commitments. Yeah. But the other thing as well, in David's book, you know, it's very clear that he was a natural leader from very young, and in the refugee camps led these groups of boys. And I wouldn't have asked you to be, you know, I had absolutely every confidence because the courage and the resilience and the tenacity that is so clear in your life and in your book, you know, you couldn't ask for anything more. I don't think there's anything you couldn't do, to be honest. I had a similar experience when I met Kutcher. Actually, it was on High Street, not Brunswick Street.
Yeah, nice.
But when I first met Kutcher, he told me his story. And again, just the power and the strength and the grace, you know, in very compelling stories. I mean, the idea to try and make the show have resonance and engage with people on lots of different levels is very important, because the stories that are involved in the work are so deeply powerful and deeply relevant. And the combination of working with Kutcher, Heath and Layla, with David and the other team from South Sudan, it's so topical today, it's so necessary.
Kutcher, it sounds like we might need to get your story. We need to bring you in here.
So what do you want to know?
Why don't you tell them about the story behind the new national anthem?
Yeah.
Because you perform this in the show. There's a new national anthem towards the end, the new words that
the
you
year,
perform.
The year's probably 2000, and I do a recording at Sing Sing Studios in Richmond, and I'm going to drop names, but, you know, Paul Kelly, Ruby Hunter, Archie Roach, Christine Arnoux, Judith Durham, and Renee Geyer. And as a six-year-old kid in a children's institution in Burwood, I'm listening to all these people sing. Probably around 2006, 2007, it's, my life just goes in. I get a call from Judith Durham. Is that Kutcher Edwards? I'm ringing to ask if you'd like to sing the national anthem with me. And I had to bite my tongue and say, Judith, I'm very honoured, but there is no way that I will sing the national anthem. And she was sort of set back by that. And she thanked me for having the conversation. And then probably a month after that, another call came. And she said, Kutcher, I've been thinking about what you said. How about we rearrange the lyrics, create our own version? She rang me at about 10 that night, and I sat up till probably 5 in the morning just mulling over lyrics and so forth. And then a lot of my lyrics were used in her interpretation.
How did you change the lyrics to Advance Australia Fair?
I've got to remember the little stuff that...
we had a memo from Judith the day before the opening going, actually, there's one other change.
There's one other change.
It's like, oops.
Australians, let us all be as one with peace and harmony. Our precious water, soil and sun, grant life for you and me. Our land abounds in nature's gifts to love, respect and share, and honouring the dreaming, Advance Australia Fair. Australians, let us stand as one upon this sacred land. A new day dawns, we're moving on to trust and understand. Combine our ancient histories and cultures everywhere to bond together for all time, Advance Australia Fair. With joyful hearts, let us sing Advance Australia Fair.
Thank you. Please join me in thanking Kate Denborough, David Noel Vincent, Heath Burgesson and Kutcher Edwards.
Thank you.
And Team of Life was performed at the 2014 Melbourne Festival, along with Kutcher Edwards, those others from the cast you heard in this Artists in Conversation, Indigenous actor Heath Burgesson, and peace activist David Newell Vincent, one of the lost boys of South Sudan. Also Kate Denborough, who's the co-artistic director of the Melbourne-based Cage Dance Theatre Company, which created Team of Life as a performance and community project in association with the Dulwich Centre Foundation in Adelaide.